sanctuary tonight. I'm thankful for what our Lord did on last evening. All the good stuff is attributed to Him. Any mishandling is on our part. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got figured into the equation long before the world's ever created. You say, first you think it is fixed. No, I think it was known long before Adam ever set foot in the Garden of Eden. Christ knew about me. And I bless His name. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that went entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I want to preach, if God will help me tonight and trust me with His Word, on how to go to church. I believe it's important for us to know about how to go to the house of God and what we ought to do after we get there. This is not just a gathering place. Christ died for the church. Now, that has nothing to do with the building, but it does have something to do with folks who are gathered together. And the saved people make up the church. I do know this, that almost every time, when this Bible talks about the church, it is a local assembly. But I do know tonight that it includes the people of God. And the coming to the house of God is something special. I'm afraid that we prostituted coming together and made games out of coming to the house of God and turned it into everything else besides the sacred gathering. And there's healing at the house of God for whatever ails you. There's healing at the house of God for all of your heartaches and your troubles, for your sick and the lost children and grandchildren. There's healing at the house of God. There's a fix for your body at the house of God. I'm going to say it's an important place. And the Word of God talks about keeping our feet when we come to the house of God, and not being fools when we come to the house of God. But most folks have turned it into a place of recreation and fun and entertainment. And in the old days, back yonder, around the time God saved me, folks didn't laugh in the house of God. Until I got into the ministry and had been in the ministry quite a while, I never heard a joke from behind this pulpit. But I've sure heard a lot of them since then.
But this is not a theater. It is the house of God. And this is the most serious business that's going on in the world tonight. It's going on at the house of God. And Peter and John now going to the church at the hour of prayer. Christ, their leader, their Lord, their Master, has been crucified and buried and rose again the third day, and after certain days ascended into heaven in their sight. And the church now, this little band of believers here in the earth, wondering what's the next move, and they don't understand. They've not got to the place yet of understanding, and they're still in their infancy. And Peter and John, I'll tell you, you don't have to learn much to learn you ought to go to the house of God. You don't have to be very old till you know that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights you ought to be in the house of God. In fact, when the doors are open, if you belong there, you ought to get in. And just going's not enough. And I'll get into that later. Just because you go doesn't satisfy God. That's a little. Now, I'm going to tell you, the devil don't care for you going to church. In fact, he'll encourage you going to church if he can pick the church. And I mean, if he can direct you to go somewhere where your conscience will be satisfied, you can go back home and sit in your chair on Sunday afternoon and feel you've fulfilled your responsibility, then it'll not bother you. But I'm going to tell you, there's a difference in going to church and going to church. And I'll tell you, there's some things that makes up the church. It's not carrying a King James Bible. It's not the steeple on the roof. It's not how high the preacher jumps. I know how loud he preaches. But I'll tell you what it is. It's not whether he's got an education or whether or not he's dumb in the Word of God. The whole test of the house of God is the Holy Ghost. And you say, preacher, you're talking like a holiness. Thank you. I want to say tonight the real test of the preaching of the Word of God, of testifying in the right kind of singing, is the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that, there's times when we'd be better off to stay down the house. I'm going to tell you, I know we would if what goes on doesn't edify and lift up the name of Jesus and help one another. Now, there's something about fellowshipping with fellow Christians. That word fellowship means two fellows in the same boat. And we come together as God's people. We're all in the same boat. We've been saved, and we realize after our honeymoon's over, after getting saved, that being a Christian is not all a bed of roses, that there's still heartaches and sorrows. And we learn that all the brethren are not angels. We learn that all the sisters are not sinless. But I'm going to tell you, there's something at the house of God you can't get anywhere else. There's a sweet fellowship when folks are right with God. That's not at your workplace nor down at your house, but in the house of God, people together worshiping and then truth. Now, Jesus said that's the only way we could worship. And I ain't in for no puppet shows nor no slides of the Holy Land. I think we ought to have church when we come to the house of God. And it'd be good for us to realize that when we come, we mean business. Now, I won't tell you, you're as obligated when you come to church as the preacher is. And you know, you're sure looking at me that way. I believe I know what I'm talking about. But we've got certain few picked out in the house of God now. That's the leaders. And we expect them to take care of all the spiritual business. But everybody that's saved and a part of the body of Christ has got an obligation at the house of God to fulfill your duty in your place. And I'm going to tell you some things you can do if you're right with God. Once in a while, you'll tell it. I've said once in a while, when God saves you, He put a heralding angel in your heart that'll make you tell it once in a while that you're saved and sanctified and delivered and set apart for another world. Bless His name. I'm not for this country. I'm just passing through. And I'm gathered together tonight with some brothers and sisters. We're just passing through this country. I'm despising the works of the flesh and despising, but knowing our citizenship. Thank God it's not in Alabama and Kentucky, but it's in glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad, thank God, I'm going to where He is. When I get yonder, there'll be no sin, because there'll be no sinners. I'll get to see Him every day. Bless His name. shake his hand, touch his robe. Hallelujah. Be in the church again. I get up there, I'll be in the church. I never had thought of that before. But did you know the scripture said he was saying in the midst of the church? And I believe that's the general assembly. I think when we get there, he'll sing to us. I'm off chord about every time I sing, but he's never been off chord. I don't want to get on the choir, but there'll be a choir there. Bless his name, and we'll all be in it. Everybody start singing the choir. Hallelujah. And Peter and John now going up to the temple, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What an odd time to go pray. But there's going. They had certain set hours to pray. Peter and John's are going, even though they're not a part of the temple. They don't believe that Jewish worship anymore, that law business. But they're going to church anyhow. I think you ought to go just because you don't believe in the sister playing the piano may not be just right. One of the deacons may be running around on his wife, but that don't give you the right to stay at home. You ought to go to the house of God. Amen. To have conference, you ought to vote if you're eligible, thank God, and stand up for the right. Amen. I'm glad I know that. I didn't learn it in school because I didn't go, but thank God for his school. There's a few things you ought to know just because you're saved. Amen. Now these two fellows right here is as different as daylight and dark. Peter's fussy and cussy, but he knows the Lord. He wasn't always right. He'd speak up. John, old Peter's rough, talk rough. John, he's a loving heart. Easy going. Wanted to keep his head on Jesus' breast and get Jesus' heartbeat. See what the heartbeat of God was. And Peter, he's a roughhouser. But they're in tune. When they went to the house of God, they're in tune. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all get in tune? I mean, all of you, I guess most of you know I'm a piano tuner technician. And I know about tuning. And I know what it takes. Just about every hammer in that piano hits 3 strings. And I'm going to tell you, when one of them's off, them 3 strings mess. And we call that, to get them together, unison tuning. Well, I didn't thank God to get me in this, but it's all right. I mean, you've got to get them in unity. That's unison tuning. And you got to have a standard to go by. Hallelujah. I had a little old tuning fork, and I first started out and tapped that, and it is guaranteed to be within 1/100th of a cent. That's exactly right. When you'd hear that tone. And I mean, if the humidity is at 42% and the temperature is at 72 degrees, it is guaranteed to be exactly right. But I've got a standard, bless his name. And he's guaranteed a 100%. Hot or cold, wet or dry, summer or winter, raining or the sunshine, to be exactly right. Hallelujah. And thank God if you'll just listen, you can tune. And I'm going to tell you, when the church gets together, and the hammer gets to hitting all the strings together in tune. Hallelujah. Thank God we can have church in the Spirit. Bless his name. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad it's real. I know I'm glad I not got a hold of dead, something dead. Thank God no sticking in this world. I'm a preaching about the church and how to go to the house of God. Amen. Now it ain't just Baptists that's going to make it. Of course, I think they're the best. But they ain't the only ones going to make it. There's other folks, whether you like it or not, that's going to be there. And Peter and John now going to the house of God. Now, if you're right before you come in the door, something good's going to happen to you. I mean, if you get right before you come in. If you have to wait here every Sunday, wait till you get here to get them to sing you and preach you in, you're a sorry mess. But if you're in tune before they got there and there's on time. There are prayers the ninth hour and there's in plenty of time. Amen. They get in tune. You get on time. I think everybody ought to be here at least 30 minutes early. And everybody ought to try to sit on the front three seats.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You said they couldn't do it. It'd be fun to watch them try to have, thank God, the zeal for God to want to get up where the goods are going on. When you get to ball game, you don't want to sit on the back seat. You want to get out on the floor where you can holler, scream, hear them, beat them, beat them, kill them, kill them. Get the house of God, can't get a holy grunt out of it. Amen. I know that's right. Thank God there's going to the house of God in tune and on time. And somebody's fixing to get a touch. There's an old crippled man laying by the wayside, been crippled from his mama's womb. Every sinner here tonight, every saved person, you're crippled from your mama's womb. Conceived in sin, born in iniquity, without any hope outside of the goings on of the church. Hadn't been for the church, you'd have never got in. Amen. The Bible said they brought him daily, carried him daily, and laid him at the gate. Oh, beautiful. He probably didn't understand that beautiful business till after Peter and John's gone. But the house of God and the interest of the house of God is a beautiful thing. You dread to go to church? It's probably you. Amen. It's probably you. If the church's not a beautiful place, it's probably you. You know, an old preacher in my country talked to an old rugged sinner. Said, James, I better want to see you get right with God. Men are crying and praying over you. And he said, preacher, I'd like to get right with God, but there's so many old sorry hypocrites going to church and going to this church. And he said, this won't do right. And he said, I don't care about getting right. And he said, James, I'll tell you what. He said, you're just the kind of man I've been looking for. He said, if God touches you again, you come and get right with God and join church. And I need somebody to help me get rid of all that bunch. And said, you get right and get in the church, and me and you will get together and we'll get rid of all them hypocrites. And that night, old James got under conviction. Come to the altar and got born again. After service, the preacher put his arms around and said, all right, James. Let's talk about them hypocrites. And James said, I've been looking for them and I can't find them. Things look different from the inside. Things look different when you get right. When the Holy God changes your heart, you're not so quick to see faults. And sitting with his cup, he had a beggar's cup. Everybody passed by. Peter and John had pity on him. And they stopped. They didn't just throw him something. Peter said, look on us. And he looked on them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, I think if I've got my theology straight, the sinner's got a right to expect something of us. He's got a right to expect our language to be right. You say, preacher, everybody says some of them little old words. No, they don't. No, they don't. And if even I thought it was all right, my pattern didn't do it. My Lord Jesus Christ didn't do it. And I'm on a stripe. You say, nobody's perfect. I don't mean you oughtn't to try. You ought to be trying to be absolutely perfect, spotless before God. Amen. No excuses. Amen. He looked on them expecting to receive something of them. I wonder about you young'uns tonight. What kind of influence you are. I told my young'uns and my wife, they ain't going to put no gravestone over me till my young'uns see me have a fit every once in a while. A wild, mountain high, ocean deep fit for God. Amen. Your young'uns oughtn't to die. You oughtn't to die and leave your young'uns and them never see you get wrought up for the Lord. Amen.
You're right.
You say, well, everybody don't shout. Well, the Bible commands you to.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, the Bible says here to clap your hands. Amen. Thank God, yes. You say, preacher, you believe that? Oh, yeah. And I want to tell you, if you'll get right, there'll be an outward expression of what's on the inside. Amen. There'll be a day and hour when God will make you tell it. I got born again down yonder in the holler at the head of a gully underneath a persimmon tree. Didn't believe in shouting was the shouting before I got back to the house. I said, that shouting's all right for down in the field by myself, but I'll never do it in the public. As I was in college prayer meeting after me and my wife married, had down the old house there, and I was standing back in the bedroom door, and they got to singing, "I'll Not Be a Stranger," when I get to that city, and them people got to shouting, carrying on, and I heard somebody shout real close to me, and I looked around, and it's me. I'm going to tell you, when you get right, I mean, when you go to church right and stay right with God, it'll break out on you. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." I want to talk to you a little about such as I have. Y'all been saved? Y'all, you folks really been born again? I mean, if you really know what it means to get, I know you do. I had you to raise your hands last night, and I know some of you that I really believe it's for real. And I'm going to tell you, this world's got the idea that, you know, being saved, just going up and giving your hand, signing in, and getting baptized. But sinners, I want you to know tonight that this is real. It's more real than the flesh on your bones to being born again. I thought it's all fake. There wasn't but two things, maybe three or four things, that made me think maybe there's something to it. Two of them is my mom and daddy praying in cornbread and beans when I know they didn't have money to buy. My daddy would pray and God would bring in something for a seed. I knew what my daddy and my mama had was real. But I thought, surely there's not a God that good. We'd go to the house of God and sing. My mama sometime would shout and say, "Thank God, that's about all that is allowed in the church." Thank God one morning, down yonder, after I'd been deceived, been a praying for 2 years, wouldn't have took anything that wasn't real. I was through with all the business and the fake in the world. But that morning, when I absolutely surrendered, I don't know where I found the cows that morning. Thank God, when I come to myself, I knew I was saved. I know where I found Him. Hallelujah! And I'm going to tell you, what I got gets me in the house of God. What I've got traveled. Oh, it travels good. What I've got, stay in the motel with you a week at a time. What I've got to wake you up in the night and get you up out of the bed and call you to prayer. Bless His name. Not afraid of the storms. Not afraid to go to sleep. Not afraid of the judgment of God. I tremble when I think of the judgment because of my sorry of pitifulness before Him. But I'm not afraid to die because of what I have.
Amen.
Oh, sinners, you're not in. I'd like to see you get something real. I'm so tired of Billy Graham evangelism. You say, "Preacher, that's my boy." Well, I guess he's a good man. But he sure has deceived a lot of folk. I don't know how good you can be and do that. But I want to say to you tonight that this is not walk up and stand around stuff while we read to you and go back among your friends. This is an old time life changing, new birth, new nature thing. Bless His name tonight. It's going to have to come before you can ever get in. I've been a lot of places and seen a lot of things. Never seen nothing like what salvation will do. Never seen anything like what God Almighty will do. What a change. I was across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans in revival meeting. There's a lady there. Preacher said, "This lady wants to talk to you." She's a mortician. You could tell she's just kind of cut above. But she's an humble lady. And she said she wants to talk to us, me and the preacher and his wife. And that lady went back in the back room and she said, "Preacher, you've been preaching about reality." And she said, "I thought I was all right. But," she said, "if what you've been preaching is true, I don't have anything." And she said, "I want it." And she said, "I really want it." And I said, "You can have it if you really want it." And I said, "I can tell you how to get it. If God's a dealing in your heart, get on an altar. Find you an altar somewhere down at the barn or in the church house and pray and call on God." Amen. And the next night when I gave an invitation here, that sophisticated lady came. They had two of them altar rails, one here and one over there. And she was down over there on her knees, and the preacher was over there with her. And he got up red-faced and come to me and said, "Preacher, that woman's confessing everything she ever done." I said, "If it's a bothering you, stay over here and let her talk to God." After a while, it wasn't but a few minutes till she stood up and screamed and said, "Preacher, Melvin." And I said, "What?" She said, "I've traded head knowledge for heart knowledge, and I've got what you're talking about. Such as I have is good enough." Oh, Senator, I'd like you to have it. Church member, if you don't have it, this is real. Yes, sir. Amen, it's real. I've told this so many times, and I had us in North Carolina in Wake Forest Church of God. Now, don't y'all turn against me, but I was preaching in the Church of God, and we had an old-time meeting. I said, "Just leave me alone. Don't bother me now. I'm coming down there to preach, and that's what I'm going to do." I saw two big old boys come in on a Wednesday night. Their brother said, "Here, there's all three in the construction business." And their brother had gotten saved. There's such a change in big brother. And he didn't act like they did anymore. And they come to see what in the world had happened to brother. And they come in, and one of them had a big old earring in the top of his ear. Bent his ear way over. And he's a large fella, probably larger than anybody here tonight. And young boys, there's probably between 25 and 30. And they came and set in. And the next night, the high sheriff of heaven put them boys under arrest. And thank God. And they come and got on the altar. And I think if you'd have been outside that night, you could have heard. They just thought when you was under conviction and need to pray, you ought to talk loud enough for God to hear you. And there's a prayer. And they both got saved. Amen. I mean, got born again. Next night they come in, the earring's gone. And this big old boy had a red Bible, as red as that songbook, carrying it under his arm. And as humble as it could be. And before I preached, I got up that night and said, "Has anybody got anything to say?" And that boy got up with tears running off his chin and said, "I've been awaiting down by the side of the road all of my life. And last night I got picked up. Such as I have is sufficient for this world and the world to come. It don't make any difference what the other preachers do. What I got sufficient. Oh Lord, help us to get the real thing and know it's for us in our day, for our problems and our trials." There's a young lady left here last night. God is dealing her heart. I don't know whether she's saved, whether she's lost. If she's saved, God's wanting for something out of her, and she wasn't going to get it. You pray for that young lady. God help such as I have is what the world needs. Ain't you glad tonight you're saved? And there's some things coming down the pike now in months to come that you better have God in your heart and not just religion or denominationalism. It'll not suffice in that day. I'm glad I'm saved. For real, I'm glad I'm saved. Peter did and said, "Be ye clothed, be ye healed," but he reached down and got him. Now, I want to tell you tonight, the church needs to deal with sinners. That's our main job, is to be dealing with sinners. That's what we're here for, is to deal with sinners. I'm afraid we're satisfied with a little old message, you know, and people talk a little, have some special singing, and go to the house and think we've done great things. Christ came into the world to save sinners. The blood that was shed on the place of the skull was for the redemption of a lost world. Oh, hear me tonight. God's interested in you, sinner. God's interested in you. He's more interested in you tonight than He is in what we do here. He wants us to do that. He's glorified by our shouting and our singing. But He's interested in you. And He loves you with all His heart. And He wants to save you, such as I have. It will be good for you. And immediately, you get saved. You don't have to go to any conferences, no how-to schools, and gradually kind of get better until your name's on the book. Salvation's instantaneous. 1 millisecond, you're lost, and the next millisecond, you're a child of God. And I might add, you're a saint, and the Pope doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the Lord Christ Himself that birthed you into His own family by His own you'll say, preacher, you can get disinherited. Well, I've been reading on that, and I found out in the state of Kentucky you can't disinherit an adopted child. We're adopted, y'all know that. I'm going to tell you, there's no way we can get unadopted and get out of our inheritance. Thank God that I know I'm in tonight. Seal, bless His name. Now, this cripple never been in the temple. A lost person never has really either. He's been in, but he ain't really been in. Under the law, this person is crippled, couldn't go in. He couldn't get in the temple. Had things wrong with him. He's not allowed to get in there. That's in the law. Couldn't get in there. I know he heard them singing. Said, Lord, I'd like to have them. He'd heard them in the house of God. No doubt in that temple, them reading that old law. And he'd say, I wonder about that lamb. They talk about that redemptive lamb and about the blood of the lamb, the sacrifices in the temple. And he said, I wonder about all that stuff and what it's for. But about the time his ankle bones received strength, the Bible said he'd got to leaping and jumping. And you know the first thing he did? It's a strange thing to me. Folks say to get saved, you can't never get them back in church anymore. Thank God if you really get born again. The Bible said he went leaping and jumping. And the people saw him walking in the house of God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if God really saved you, you ought to loosen up a little bit and you get to the house of God and say, God, anything, Lord, you want me to do. Now, I'm going to tell you all tonight, if God tells me to run through that wall right there, I'm going to fix and take off. Oh, yeah. You say, what's the matter? Nothing wrong with me. There'll be a hole there when I get there. The Holy Ghost don't hurt anybody. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, if you get down rejoicing, you'll never get unscriptural. Everything will always be done decently and in order. You hearing me? Nobody will be out of the will of God when the Holy Ghost is ruling things. I'm talking about going to church. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when sinners get under conviction, the best thing we can do is leave him alone. Unless the Holy Ghost tells you to go to a sinner, you better leave him alone. The same Holy Ghost that put him under conviction is able to pull him. And the one that's able to pull him is able to deal with him after he gets here. You don't have to read to him and instruct him. I done been through all that stuff down through the years, and it don't work and it ain't right. The best thing you can do is tell him to pray and pray with him like your forefathers done. It is right back then, still right tonight. Amen. I'm glad I can go to the house of God. It means so much to me. I travel so much, too much now. Gone just about every other week at least. Cut back to every other week. For a long time, going 35. I believe I said, told somebody the other day, I had 39 one year trying to pastor. I'll get home on Saturday now, and weary, and church on Sunday morning, and can't hardly wait to get on Sunday morning to get to the house of God. That's my people there. It's the best church in America. Best bunch of people in America. Now, Brother Chris don't think that. He don't think that's the best church he thinks he's got. But I'm going to tell you, I call them my Green County heathens, but don't you call them that. That's my bunch. And I can't hardly wait, but I know that Monday morning
Sunday afternoon, or Saturday, when I get home, my wife began to unload my white shirts and begin to do laundry and get me ready to come back down yonder to Brother Cook's church on Monday night. And I can't hardly wait to get down there. I'd like to see this and go on about 3 weeks, but I got to go down to Brother Cook's. Brother Cook said, there ain't no going on when you're coming to my place. Amen. But I won't tell you tonight, it sent me to want to go to the house of God. Yes. Saturday night, I'll ask my wife, is there any revivals going on? Wore out, but there's something in me that makes my feet itch to get in the house of God. Hear old time singing, old time preaching. That's my life. That's what I want to do. If you're right with God, you want to go to church. And Sunday morning will not satisfy you. You can't get enough on Sunday morning to last you. You got them buzzard Christians, you know, that won't just go to funerals. Amen. That's right. I want to tell you tonight there's more to it than that. Hallelujah. You ought to want to get to the house of God. You ought to want to get there and get under old time preaching. You know what preaching is? Speaking's not preaching. You ought to know the difference. Thank God for this man of God here that's, it looks like a natural newborn preacher. Did church tell hear what I said? That's right, ain't it? I said, thank God for this man of God here. That's a natural, born-again, called man of God. You ought to be thankful. Other men of God here tonight, placed right at, I'm going to tell you, you ought to count the sweetest thing in the world to have a church where there's harmony and peace, and a man of God will preach. Not afraid of you, the ladies in the congregation, the choir leader, and the piano player, and all the dick and board put together, but scared to death of God Almighty and won't do the right thing. That's exactly what we need. Some men of God with backbone that's willing to buck tradition in order to follow the Holy Ghost. Yes, 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 yes. You say, preacher, we don't do that. You ought to get to doing it. That's what God wants, some God followers. God followers. Amen. 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 Now, I hope some of you are under conviction about not being faithful. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Amen. Some of you using every excuse. Had churches too early. And if they move it up, it's too late. And I mean, 9:30 or 10 o'clock is too early. But 7 o'clock on Monday morning, you'll be over yonder raring with a cup of coffee in your hand waiting for the assembly line to start at the house. Amen. And you're too sick on Sunday, but on Monday you'll drag out and go anyway. The house of God, if you leave out anything, it ought to be your job and go to the house of God. You say, preacher, you're on our case. Uh-huh. You're great God, help us to get disturbed about going to the house of God. Well, I wonder how it is with you tonight. Are you saved? Are you where you ought to be in His sight? Church house means a lot to you. I'm talking about the going, the being with the people of God and singing. I thank God for the singing here. And I said, thanking God for the joy that's on the song leader's face. I bet he don't tell nobody I have to lead the choir. I bet he say I get to. You ought to say I get to go. I don't have to go to church tomorrow morning. I get to. It's an honor and a privilege. And I'm going to tell you why we're here tonight. Because your boy and your girl, your grandchild's lost and doomed. Oh, tonight, church business is getting lost people in. We're having revival here at Old Center Baptist Church. I thank God for what I've seen these 3 nights. Folks are getting in. A crowd's changed a little bit, but it's increased every night. And I'm interested in what God's going to do tonight and the next 2 nights. And I wonder if you're going to be a part of it. You're just kind of going to be a spectator. Are you going to get in and do the will of God for you? You say, preacher, I'm a visitor. I said, this is all one body. Every saved person in here tonight, we're all one family. You're at your father's house. You don't have to, when you go to your dad and mom's house, you don't stand back and say, well, I'm going to let all the other brothers and sisters eat, and I'll not talk. What you do, you get in there. And that's what you do at the house of God. You just get in there. Everybody stand tonight, if you will. Maybe some folks need to come repent. So I ain't been doing right. Been slack at the house of God. Been slack in the singing, helping sing. Been slack getting behind the man of God. Maybe sinners here tonight, you've been looking for something that's real. And I'm going to tell you, it's been here now, already in this revival meeting. And if you want to get saved, if God's dealing with you, you can come get in this altar and get right tonight. You say, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get the ark ready. Get God's people enthused about the workings at the house of God. I'm going to tell you, listen to me, church. You come to this revival meeting, you ought to get here early and go to the prayer room with us. I'm ashamed to be the same way as at my church. Folks just drag around. No, we have prayer room at a quarter till the hour. Oh, Lord, you ought to come and want to pray. And hurry things up at the house of God and say, we've got to get over there. We've got to pray for sinners. I know I'm right. For the sake of sinners. You say, preacher, I don't like this kind of preaching. I'm not doing it for your likes. I have an obligation to the sinners in here. I love y'all, and I want you to like me. I really do. But whether you do or not, I want to preach in such a manner that'll make you change where you're wrong, that we can get sinners in before it's too late. I'm going to tell you tonight, if God stuck your heart with scriptural, spiritual guilt while I've been preaching, you need to get in this altar and ask God to help you. It may be just some little old something, but you need to get it right while we sing, brother.